From NPR News, this is special coverage of the Potomac primaries. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Melissa Block. Senators Barack Obama and John McCain are projected to sweep the three presidential primary contests tonight in Maryland, Virginia, and the District of Columbia. And we're going to join John McCain, who is speaking right now, addressing his supporters in Alexandria, Virginia.
What we cannot do for ourselves individually, it must be done with confidence, resolve, and wisdom. The American people don't send us to Washington to serve our self-interest, but to serve theirs. They don't send us to fight each other for our own political ambitions, but to fight together our real enemies. They don't send us to Washington to stroke our egos, but to help them keep this beautiful, bountiful, blessed country free, safe, prosperous, and proud. They don't send us to Washington to take more of their money and waste it on things that add not an ounce to America's strength and prosperity, that don't help a single family realize the dreams we all dream for our children, that don't help a single displaced worker find a new job and the security and dignity it assures them, that won't keep the promise we make to young workers that the retirement they have begun to invest in will be there for them when they need it. They don't send us to Washington to do their job, but to do ours, to do it better. To do it better, to do it better and with less of their money. My friends, the work we face in our time is great, but our opportunities are greater still. In a time of war and the terrible sacrifices it entails, the promise of a better future is not always clear. But I promise you, my friends, we face no enemy, no matter how cruel, and no challenge, no matter how daunting, greater than the courage, patriotism, and determination of Americans. My friends, we are the makers of history, not its victims. Friends, hope is a powerful thing. I can attest to that better than many, for I've seen men's hopes tested in hard and cruel ways that few will ever experience. And I stood astonished at the resilience of their hope in the darkest hours, because it didn't reside in an exaggerated belief in their individual strength, but in the support of their comrades and their faith in our country. My hope. My hope for our country resides in my faith in the American character, the character which proudly defends the right to think and do for ourselves, but perceives self-interest in accord with a kinship of ideals, which when called upon, Americans will defend with their very lives. To encourage a country with only rhetoric rather than sound and proven ideas, the trust and the strength and courage of free people is not a promise of hope. It's a platitude.
That was Senator John McCain speaking to his supporters in Alexandria, Virginia, after sweeping the primaries in Maryland.
When I was a young man, I thought glory was the highest ambition, and that all glory was self-glory. My parents tried to teach me otherwise, as did the Naval Academy. But I didn't understand the lesson until later in life when I confronted a challenge I never expected to face. In that confrontation, I discovered that I was dependent on
Once again,
others.
That was Senator John McCain speaking in Alexandria, Virginia, to his supporters after winning in Maryland, Virginia, and Washington, D.C., a full sweep of the collection of contests known as the Potomac primaries. Senator Obama was in Madison, Wisconsin, which votes next week.
We know our road will not be easy, but we also know that at this moment, the cynics can no longer say that our hope is false. We have now won east and west, north and south, and across the heartland of this country we love.
Senator Hillary Clinton, now with 7 state losses in a row, spoke to her supporters in El Paso, Texas. Texas votes on March 4th, hoping to recast her campaign.
I am so excited to be making this campaign, but I can't do it without all of you. I need you here in El Paso and across Texas to stand up for me.
Mike Huckabee, the former Arkansas governor and former Baptist minister, failed to knock back John McCain in Virginia, a state which is home to a very large number of religious conservative voters. Joining me now in the studio is NPR's national political correspondent, Mara Liasson. Mara, put tonight's, now that we have the full results, put this all in context for us.
Well, it was a big night, obviously, for Obama and McCain, at least for the moment. They're going to look like the two front runners. I mean, McCain is definitely the front runner. He's the presumptive nominee. I think Huckabee has about a quarter of the delegates of John McCain. But Barack Obama has had a very, very important night. He has consistently chipped away at Hillary Clinton's electoral coalition every set of primaries. He seems to do just a little bit better with white voters, kind of putting aside the impression that he can only win in states where there are large numbers of African Americans. And I think this gives him a tremendous psychological boost. You know, you call it momentum, and we've learned this year how little momentum matters sometimes. But he is in a very, very strong position. I think this was one of the worst weeks for the Clinton campaign. You know, she's had staff shakeups. She's lost 7 in a row. It's a long way before she gets to her more comfort territory in Texas and Ohio. And we don't know what's going to happen in the meantime. If Obama does win Wisconsin and Hawaii, what happens to those superdelegates who haven't pledged yet? You know, in what other ways might his momentum start to show itself?
There were 3 contests today, but they're very important tests, particularly in Virginia. For Barack Obama, a test of whether he could appeal to white voters in a southern state. For John McCain, a test of whether he could actually unite his party.
Yes, well, he didn't win very conservative voters, and he didn't win evangelicals. So that hasn't changed for John McCain, although it's interesting. He has proved that even with only one opponent, you can keep on winning Republican primaries with moderates and conservative voters who aren't very conservative. So he is winning in spite of the fact that he has not won the hearts of the conservative base of his party. But he is working on it, and the establishment is rallying around him. And I think little by little he will get conservative voters too. And I think that he is well on the way to unifying his party, particularly because his last remaining opponent is not an anti-McCain candidate. Mike Huckabee really, really likes John McCain and never has a bad word to say about him.
And says he'll stay in until John McCain reaches that magic number. Mara Liasson, thanks so much.
Thank you, Michelle.
It was NPR's national political correspondent, Mara Liasson.
And we're going to go now to John McCain election night headquarters in Alexandria, Virginia, and to NPR's Brian Naylor. And Brian, the speech from John McCain just now sounded like he took a pretty direct swipe at Barack Obama. Brian, are you there? I think we do not have contact with Brian Naylor, so Mara,
yes,
I'm going to come back to you. Mara, I just want to ask that same question to you. That was a direct allusion to Barack Obama and his promise of hope.
There's no doubt about it. Hope is a powerful thing, John McCain said. I can attest to that because I've seen men's hopes tested in hard and cruel ways. In other words, you know, John McCain has a life experience that nobody else in American politics at the top level right now has. And that's what he's using to basically, I think, cast Barack Obama as someone who's rather callow, somebody who's young and inexperienced. And, you know, you want to talk about hope? I'll tell you what hope really means. It has to do with being in a prison camp. And it's interesting. He said, basically, on that level, hope is just a platitude. But what's interesting about John McCain, and we're kind of waiting to see the kind of campaign he could run either against a Hillary Clinton or a Barack Obama. I mean, he has the potential to run an ideological campaign from the center, which I think would be pretty interesting if he can pull it off. I mean, he has a moderate record. He could basically say they're just liberal. He doesn't have to run against them in any other way. And the other thing I thought he said was how one of the most important lessons that he learned in his life was to be dependent on others, which was so interesting. That's almost a democratic message. I mean, it's not the kind of rugged individualism of Republican boilerplate. So, but he did take a swipe at John McCain, at Barack Obama, and you know what? They've been taking swipes at him all week long, so I guess it was about time.
Turnabout is fair play. Mara, thanks so much. NPR's Mara Liasson. And now to El Paso, Texas, and to NPR's David Green. He's at the Don Haskins Center at the University of Texas in El Paso. Hillary Clinton has been holding a rally for her supporters there. David, what's going on now?
Well, Melissa, the rally keeps going. Hillary Clinton spoke a good while ago, but she really seems to still be soaking this in. She's been walking through the arena, and people have been cheering her, and she's been greeting them. You know, that this was not a good day for Hillary Clinton. This has not been a good month for Hillary Clinton since Super Tuesday. And if her campaign was hoping to sort of turn the page and find a place where she could regain some of the magic, this might have been a good place for her. The campaign says there were 12,000 people packed into this arena. I might say maybe 9 or 10,000, but it was a very electric atmosphere, a lot of supporters waving signs. And, you know, in Maryland, in the Potomac states, she held a lot of smaller events, you know, speaking to small coffee gatherings and so forth. Now that she's moved on to Texas, we get one of these big rallies.
Yeah, and Texas, of course, a huge delegate prize coming up on March 4th. What have you been hearing from Hillary Clinton's supporters there in El Paso tonight?
Well, they've been saying that they know about the Potomac primaries. They know she hasn't had a good month. They're just hoping that there's still enough time for her to regain momentum, and they feel like there is. They feel like she's close in the delegate count. It's still a race with Barack Obama, and they just hope that the headlines and the media coverage that Barack Obama gets out of this string of victories doesn't put her in a tough position. And you're right. This is a delegate-rich state. Ohio has a lot of delegates. Those states, Texas and Ohio, both vote on March 4th, and that's really where the Clinton campaign is focusing now.
Okay, that's NPR's David Green joining us from the University of Texas at El Paso, where the Hillary Clinton rally is still underway. Hillary Clinton lost all three contests to Barack Obama today in Maryland, Virginia, and the District of Columbia. You're listening to live coverage of the Potomac primaries from NPR News. You're listening to special coverage of the Potomac primaries from NPR News. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris. Big wins tonight for Senator Barack Obama and Senator John McCain in Maryland, the District of Columbia, and Virginia. Senator Hillary Clinton, who's lost seven contests in a row now to Barack Obama, is looking toward Wisconsin, Texas, and Ohio. In Ohio, her campaign is led by Governor Ted Strickland, and Governor Strickland joins me now. Welcome to the program, sir.
Good to be with you this evening.
Now, Senator Obama has picked up quite a bit of momentum with these seven wins. What does Hillary Clinton have to do to stop or at least slow that momentum?
Well, we believe she's going to win Ohio and Texas, and Hillary Clinton is running the kind of campaign that I think has an appeal to the people of Ohio. We are a big, diverse state here in the Midwest, but we are suffering economically. And I think her campaign, which focuses on job creation, economic development, health care, these kitchen table issues that are so important to Ohioans, will enable her to do well here and reverse the course of this campaign. And it is my hope that Ohio will lead the way to her nomination. And come November the 4th, that Ohio will lead the nation in putting her in the presidency.
You know, we've heard Ohio and Texas described as a firewall for Senator Clinton's campaign. Is it just that, a firewall, the make-or-break contest?
Well, we are looking at it as a very important contest, certainly. We're well organized across Ohio. The early polls show the senator with a very comfortable lead. Just today, former Senator John Glenn, who is perhaps the most respected Ohioan alive today, endorsed Senator Clinton. And he will be campaigning across and throughout Ohio for her. Senator Clinton's going to be in Ohio, I believe, Thursday and Friday of this week. And we look forward to helping her take her message to Ohio, which is, in my judgment, perhaps the state that is most like America. And I think if she can win here, and I believe she will, that it will increase her momentum as we move through the rest of the primary season. This is a delegate race. Both candidates are obviously very close in their delegate count. But we think Ohio and Texas are two states that will propel her forward and give her some much-needed momentum.
Now, Governor, I heard you said that you want to be able to help her as much as you can in the time that we have left, and it's short. I just wonder when she calls you, and I assume that she will be seeking your specific advice, what do you tell her that she needs to do to actually connect with voters there, to reach out and project herself as a winner?
Well, I think she needs to talk about the issues that are important to Ohioans, and you know, they're pretty basic. They're the kitchen table issues. I believe the campaign so far really has been between Senator Obama, who talks a lot about hope, and Senator Clinton, who really has a plan to provide health care to our citizens, a plan to stimulate our economy and create jobs, a plan to bring our troops home from Iraq as quickly as possible. These are difficult days for the world and certainly for the country. Our national economy is struggling, and people in Ohio are losing their homes, and too many of them are unemployed. And so I think the senator needs to just connect with the people of Ohio. I think she does get it. I think she understands that that these are serious times. We need a serious, experienced leader. And my goal as governor and Senator John Glenn's goal will be to help the people of Ohio understand that there is a choice here.
And Governor, we're going to have to leave it there with the choice. I'm so sorry to cut you off, but we've got to move on. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you so very much.
That was Ohio Governor Ted Strickland.
And as we've been hearing from Governor Strickland, Hillary Clinton is looking ahead to the primaries in Ohio and Texas on March 4th to revive her campaign, and also to the primary next week in Wisconsin. She spoke tonight to thousands of supporters in Texas.
You know, some people, when they run for political office, they only think about the next election. But I like to think about the next generation, because that's what I think this election's about. It is about what kind of country and world we're going to pass on to the young people who are students here, to that beautiful young boy who came up and gave me the flowers, for each of our children and grandchildren. Are we going to give them the same shot at the American dream that many of us were given? Well, if we make the right decision in this election, we sure are. We're going to give our young people not only confidence and optimism, but real results, 21st century solutions for what we need to do to fix our problems, meet our challenges, and seize our opportunities. As I travel around the country, I know from what people tell me that a lot of really hardworking folks are concerned. You know, they're working as hard as they can, but they don't feel like they're getting ahead. They're not getting the kind of health care and educational opportunities that they want for themselves and their children. I hear the mothers who tell me they don't know what they're going to do because they can't afford health care. And they have sick children, and the only place they have to turn to is the emergency room. I've been in the homes of families that are on the brink of losing the American dream because they got sucked into one of these subprime mortgages and they can't afford to stay in their home. And they're looking for somebody to say, this was wrong and we will help you. I meet the people who work hard every single day but can't pay their energy bills. They can't fill up their gas tank. They're looking for answers. And then I meet all of the people who want to solve the problems, the young people who are focused on a better future and want to make it happen.
That's Senator Hillary Clinton speaking at a rally for supporters tonight in El Paso, Texas.
Senator Obama, who won all three contests tonight, pointed to his ability to draw voters of all persuasions as he spoke tonight in Madison, Wisconsin. Here's a bit of what he had to say.
We have given young people a reason to believe. And we have brought the young at heart back to the polls who want to believe again. We are bringing together Democrats and independents, and yes, some Republicans. I know this. You know, I meet them when I'm shaking hands afterwards. There's one right there, an Obamacan. That's what we call them. They whisper to me. They say, Barack, I'm a Republican, but I support you. And I say, thank you. We're bringing Democrats, independents, Republicans, blacks and whites, Latinos and Asians and Native Americans, small states and big states, red states and blue states, all into the United States of America. That's our project. That's our mission. This is the new American majority. This is what change looks like when it happens from the bottom up. And in this election, your voices will be heard, because at a time when so many people are struggling to keep up with soaring costs in a sluggish economy, we know that the status quo in Washington just won't do. Not this time. Not this year. We can't keep playing the same Washington game with the same Washington players and somehow expect a different result, because it's a game that ordinary Americans are losing. We are going to put this game to an end.
Democrat Barack Obama speaking to supporters at the Cole Fieldhouse this evening at the University of Wisconsin in Madison. He's the winner of the Potomac primaries in Virginia, Maryland, and the District of Columbia.
And we're going now to NPR's Don Gagne, who was at that rally at the University of Wisconsin in Madison, Barack Obama's rally. Don Gagne, the message from Barack Obama tonight, the same one we've been hearing for some time now about hope and change and bringing people together. Did you hear anything new in his speech tonight?
No, we didn't hear a lot new. One of the biggest cheers, interestingly, though, went to Governor Jim Doyle, who introduced him, when he started his speech by saying that Barack Obama has won not one, not two, not three in a row, but eight contests in a row now. Now, truth be told, he's counting the Virgin Islands in there.
Why not? Why not add it to the column?
But why not add it to the mix? A huge cheer. What we heard from Barack Obama was really the standard stump speech with, you know, all the laugh lines, the line about his cousin Dick Cheney not being on the ballot this year and George Bush not being on the ballot, and certainly the message of hope and change and the refrain, yes, we can, yes, we can. After today, it's harder for him to portray himself as the underdog he has been portraying himself as since Super Tuesday, certainly still.
Well, exactly. And even though Barack Obama may not want to consider himself a front runner, here's what comes with that. In his speech tonight to his supporters, John McCain seemed to be taking, as we've said, a very direct swipe at Barack Obama. He said, to encourage a country with only rhetoric is not a promise of hope. It's a platitude. How does Barack Obama come back at that?
Well, he has some words for John McCain in his speech. He's been trying them out over the past several weeks, as it's become increasingly likely that McCain would indeed be the Republican nominee. And he talked about John McCain as essentially being an extension of the Bush administration on the economy. He said McCain, who once in principle opposed the tax cuts that President Bush pushed in his first term, now thinks they should be extended. On Iraq, he paraphrases John McCain when he says that McCain acknowledges that the U.S. will be, as Barack Obama put it tonight, mired in Iraq for up to 100 years. He says that's reason enough not to give John McCain 4 years in the White House. So he's definitely targeting John McCain more than he's targeting Hillary Clinton.
Is the Obama campaign, though, do you think, worried about a campaign where John McCain will play the experience card, maybe far more than Hillary Clinton has, specifically on matters of national security, threats to the United States? Barack Obama is a first-term senator.
they feel pretty good about how they have taken on someone like Hillary Clinton, a very well-funded, formidable, well-known opponent. So given the way they've succeeded so far against her, they do not seem to be worried at all about the task of taking on John McCain. Of course, they're not getting ahead of themselves yet. They're not talking in too many specifics about strategy for a fall campaign. There's still a dead heat in a convention to be had on the Democratic side, certainly. But they're not betraying any worry about a potential face-off with John McCain.
Okay, November's a long way away still. We should remember that. NPR's, thanks a lot, Don. NPR's Don Gagne at the University of Wisconsin at Madison, where Barack Obama is holding a rally for his supporters after winning all three contests around the Washington, D.C. area today. David Keene is the chairman of the American Conservative Union, and he joins us now from Alexandria, Virginia. Welcome back to the program.
It's a pleasure.
John McCain has swept the table tonight in the Potomac primaries, but looking at the results, particularly in Virginia, it appears that he still has significant challenges trying to reach out to conservative voters. Your friend and fellow conservative Gary Bauer is suggesting that conservatives, even though they may find reason to complain about John McCain, must accept him now, that he's the conservative that the party must accept.
Well, I think that the Virginia results in particular illustrate the McCain problem, and that is he finds it very difficult in a major primary, even after it's obvious that he's going to be the nominee, to come up with 50% or more of the vote. There are a lot of questions out there, a lot of unease, a lot of queasiness among conservatives who make up a good portion of the Republican base about John McCain. They're not going to just jump on board. They're not going to just say, okay, John McCain is the Republican nominee, we're Republicans, therefore we're with him.
So what does it take to get them on board?
John McCain, who spent his lifetime saying party loyalty didn't matter much. But he has an opportunity. He's doing a little bit better. He obviously recognizes his problem. And what he's got to do now is to be able to convince these conservatives who have these questions and have this unease that he's somebody that they ought to support. And I think that as time goes on, if he plays it right, by the time he's ready to go into the fall, by the time the convention arrives, he's going to have what he needs. But he's not going to have it just by demanding it as a matter of right.
That was David Keene. He's the chairman of the American Conservative Union. Thanks so much for talking to us, sir.
My pleasure.
We're going to turn now to E.J. Dionne and David Brooks. E.J. is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution and a columnist at the Washington Post. David Brooks, a columnist for the New York Times. They're both here in the studio. Welcome back.
Thank you.
I want to ask you about this notion that David Keene was raising there. I mean, how does John McCain appeal to conservatives, get them on board, get them to jump on board, as David Keene says, and not alienate the independent voters and the moderates? David Brooks?
First, just by asking them. I think he's done that. He did that at the Conservative Political Action Conference last week. But listen, when this comes into a fall election, it's going to be high taxes versus low taxes, big government versus small government, stay in Iraq, get out of Iraq. It's going to be a pretty traditional, in many ways, left-right fight, and all the conservatives will basically be with him. I can't imagine it'll be a problem. Already in Virginia, three-quarters of the voters said John McCain is a good nominee, even if they didn't vote for him.
So you don't think this ideological split will have much effect?
No, I really don't.
EJ, what do you think?
You know, what you are seeing is a real lack of enthusiasm for McCain in the Republican base. I mean, Obama's results look like more the mopping up operation that you'd expect from McCain. In Virginia, conservatives who voted in the Republican primary voted 51% to 38% for Huckabee. But here's a really a fascinating number. Barack Obama got 150,000 more votes than the combined total for all of the Republican candidates. Hillary Clinton got about 100,000 more votes than John McCain. So now, yes, the Republican race is decided, so maybe people chose to pick up a Democratic ballot. But I think this sort of enthusiasm factor could play a role down the road in hurting John McCain.
Huge Democratic turnout. David Brooks, doesn't that pose a problem for the Republicans come November?
In theory, though, and historically, if you look at the times when both parties have had competitive races, the Democrats tend to outdraw the Republicans 60-40 if you go back 30 or 40 years. It hasn't happened a lot. Nonetheless, I do think there is a basic point. There's a lot more enthusiasm, passion, and support for Democrats this year than for Republicans, with the one exception, the only Republican who could possibly win an election this year happens to be John McCain.
Does it make any sense at this point to look ahead to an eventual matchup in November, assuming the Republican nominee is John McCain, even though he doesn't have the total number of delegates yet, how he would fare against either Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama? EJ, does it even make sense to have that conversation?
Well, it's going to be one or the other. And I think that if you look at the polling now, and this is really a long time from
the
election.
Well, that's my point. Is it too early? Yeah.
Well, it's never too early to speculate on the outcome of an election. I mean, what you're seeing is that Barack Obama does much better against McCain among independents than Hillary Clinton does. That's why it appears, at least at the moment, that he is running better in the polls against McCain than Hillary Clinton is. Now, what the Clinton people argue is, yes, but down the road, when you match up against John McCain with national security issues on the table, they will be able to use Barack Obama's relatively short Washington experience against him. That may be true, but what struck me watching McCain tonight is there is going to be such a sharp generational contrast, particularly if it's Barack Obama. So it won't just be about who's ready for the next term. It's really going to be what the next term is about. John McCain really wants the focus to remain on terrorism for four more years. I'm not sure that's where the electorate is.
David Brooks, what do you think?
Well, most Republicans I speak to think Obama is a stronger candidate. They fear him more than they fear Clinton. But the strategies is basically obvious. If it's Hillary Clinton, the Republicans will go after the white working class, which has been their core of their support. If it's Barack Obama, they'll go after the white working class, who Obama has not been able to reach. If it's Hillary Clinton, they'll go after the Obama vote, the independent vote. So it's two different strategies that the Republicans can tap into. Both of them strike me as highly plausible, though, as I say, the Republicans fear Obama more.
Okay, thanks to you both. David Brooks is a columnist for The New York Times, E.J. Dionne, columnist at The Washington Post, and senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. You're listening to live coverage of the Potomac primaries from NPR News.
From NPR News, this is special coverage of the Potomac primaries. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Melissa Block. It was a big night for Senator Barack Obama, who is projected to win all three primaries in Maryland, Virginia, and the District of Columbia. Obama, talking about building a new American majority, increased his streak of victories to 7, likely putting him ahead in the delegate count for the first time. Senator Hillary Clinton was once considered the frontrunner in the Democratic race. On the Republican side, Senator John McCain also swept the three contests. He widened his delegate lead over former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee. Congressman Ron Paul finished far behind them both. John McCain held his own among conservative voters today in Virginia. A key group for Barack Obama continues to be African-American voters. And joining us now is Ronald Walters, professor of government and politics at the University of Maryland and director of the African-American Leadership Institute. He's here in our studio. Welcome back, Professor Walters.
Thank you.
Some of the takeaway lessons that you see coming out of these races as we look forward to the contest to come. Big states coming up, Ohio, Texas, Pennsylvania, but still some time away.
Yes, that's it. Some time away. And I think that, as I said before, I think there is time for Barack Obama to begin to campaign in some of these states. I think there's also time for Hillary Clinton to begin to consolidate her strength. Right now, if you look at the state of Ohio, she's ahead, comfortably ahead, as already been indicated, 54-16%. And I think that is really going to be a very tough lead for her to overcome. In addition to that, of course, she's gone down to Texas, right into the jugular. Part of the Hispanic community, and began to campaign there to hold that lead. She talks in her speech there about family. That is a very important value to the Hispanic community. And so she's pulling out the stops to try to nail down these two very delegate-rich areas.
And hammering home in her speech today to supporters in Texas, hammering home that economic message that certainly will resonate in Ohio and Pennsylvania and big industrial states, which maybe hasn't been as much of a focus in some of the contests up until now.
That's right. And I think in Ohio also, if you go back to the 2004-2006 election cycle, you saw the anti-war theme playing very well in Ohio. And I think that then plays, I think, to some extent to the strength of Barack Obama. If he comes into Ohio and he is able to marry sort of the spending for the war right now, $6 billion a month, to the kind of human needs that people in Ohio want, I think he's going to have a very powerful message.
What do you make of the comments by Senator McCain in his speech tonight, talking about sort of the false promise of hope and the rhetoric being just that, just a platitude, and not mentioning Barack Obama by name, but certainly by implication?
I think it was a direct shot across the bow of Barack Obama, and a kind of sort of opening debate that I think you're likely to hear if Barack Obama's the nominee this fall. Barack Obama has, in his stump speech, elaborated what he means by change with a whole set of public policy recommendations. And I think that's where they're likely to fight this out.
At the same time, Hillary Clinton has also made the case that she is the candidate with details. She is the candidate with many more specifics. And beyond the grandiose rhetoric, that there is real substance there, which she says Barack Obama doesn't have.
Yes, and I think that we ought to, I think, sort of evaluate this equally. Someone told me the other day that when they looked at Barack Obama's policy statements, there are 328 separate recommendations, 50 hours of debates, 18 debates. In 2007 alone, nearly 100 public policy speeches. So I think there's really ample specifics out there, and I think that we ought to really talk about it in that vein.
Okay. Ronald Walters, thanks again for being with us. Ronald Walters, professor of government and politics at the University of Maryland, also director of the African American Leadership Institute.
We're going to get a look ahead now to one of the contests next week. We're going to be joined by Charles Franklin. He's a professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin at Madison. He's also co-developer of Pollster.com. He joins us from Madison, Wisconsin. Welcome back to the program.
Good to be back.
Barack Obama is there in Madison this evening, speaking at the University of Wisconsin. Hillary Clinton in Texas. And Hillary Clinton's campaign often talking about Texas and Ohio as his firewall. It's curious that they don't talk more about Wisconsin as a place where that campaign could perhaps gain some momentum.
I think that's right, and I think that must reflect their expectations about the state. As somewhat mentioned earlier, Obama's now won, I think it was seven states in a row since Super Tuesday. That's a lot of momentum. You would think if the Clinton campaign believed they had a shot in Wisconsin, they'd like to take it to at least have a victory before that supposed firewall in Texas and Ohio. But by their actions, by campaigning in Texas now and I think Ohio a little bit later this week, the Clinton campaign is really not putting its primary focus on Wisconsin. I think that suggests they're reading the tea leaves here as not being very favorable to them.
Why wouldn't Wisconsin be favorable to Hillary Clinton? It seems like there are several things, the strong union vote, the large population of older blue-collar voters, the fact that there's traditionally a very large primary turnout. I'm wondering why that wouldn't be more hospitable for her.
Well, I think that's actually the interesting change that we've seen really since Super Tuesday or through Super Tuesday. Clinton was leading by double digits in the polling throughout the year and into December, but leading by a bit smaller margin in Wisconsin than she was leading at the time nationally. Since that time, of course, Obama has really closed the gap nationally. We've only got a couple of contradictory polls in Wisconsin, so it's kind of hard to know exactly where the race stands right now. But the real thing is Obama has made gains in some of the base voters that Clinton was getting. So Obama tonight in Virginia, I think, got almost exactly 50% of the white vote. He did just slightly worse, 48 or 49% of the white vote in Maryland. If you come into Wisconsin on a roll like that, you're in much better shape. We also see his progress among Catholics, which has been a strong group for Clinton. That seemed to subside a good bit with Obama winning Catholics tonight in both Maryland and Virginia. So the campaign really has shifted and is now making much better progress in groups that have been part of her strength. And I think the Clinton campaign clearly is looking at Texas as potentially a more hospitable case, a much bigger Hispanic vote, and then Ohio, which I think may turn out to be the true battleground.
We should note that there's a Republican primary as well, winner-take-all primary next Tuesday. But we're going to have to leave it at that, Professor Franklin. Thank you very much.
Very good.
Charles Franklin is a professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin at Madison.
And we're going to turn now to Texas and the primary coming up there on March 4th. We're joined by Bruce Buchanan, professor of government at the University of Texas at Austin. Professor Buchanan, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
And we just heard Professor Franklin talking about Texas maybe being a more hospitable case for Senator Clinton. Does it look that way to you from Texas?
Well, it's been hard to measure down here because we do so few polls. The most recent poll early this month, actually on the 1st of February, put Senator Clinton at 48% and Senator Obama at 38%. But since that time, Obama has run off a string of victories. Texas is no less susceptible to momentum than any other place. And at the moment, it would be hard to be certain that that's the case.
You know, when Senator Clinton talked to her supporters tonight, she did so in El Paso, and she talked about going way back to 1972, coming to Texas to do voter registration drives, talking about her love of Texas food, Texas music, what's not to love. Does she have traction with those things among Texas voters, do you think? Does that sort of commonality register with them?
She has a long history in Texas. She and her husband were both organizers back as far as the McGovern campaign here. They're well connected to the Texas political establishment and the Democratic Party here. No question about it. They're strong in the Hispanic community, which is a sizable proportion of the vote here. On the other hand, again, the way things are breaking at this moment, it's not a certainty that they will develop an overwhelming advantage here going forward. There's several weeks to go before the Texas primary. There's Wisconsin in between, mm-hmm. and as we just heard, that may not be breaking in the Clinton direction as expected, and so that momentum may continue. So I'd say it's a horse race down here, and the likely outcome is something, even if it is slightly in the direction of the Clinton advantage, something close to another even division among delegates, which leaves the race in a dead heat going forward from here to the Pennsylvania primary.
Okay. Professor Buchanan, thanks very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Bruce Buchanan, professor of government at the University of Texas at Austin.
John Green is director of the Ray C. Bliss Institute of Applied Politics, and he's a distinguished professor of political science at the University of Akron. He joins us now from Akron. Welcome to the program, Professor Green.
It's good to be with you.
Now, we just heard Professor Buchanan say that out there in Texas there's a real horse race. What's the lay of the land there in Ohio?
Well, up to this point, Ohio shows a real advantage for Hillary Clinton. The most recent polls, and unlike Texas, we actually have polls in Ohio all the time because it's perceived to be a battleground state, show Senator Clinton with a double-digit lead over Barack Obama, most polls showing her 50% or better. Now, that can change very quickly as the result of momentum and because of the campaign itself. We're beginning to see television commercials in Ohio by both campaigns, and I suspect that attention will turn very quickly to Ohio. It's the kind of state where Hillary Clinton ought to do well, based upon what we've seen in the previous primaries and also her connections to the Democratic establishment in the Buckeye State. But she had all of those strengths just a few months ago in many states, and saw those strengths decay as the Obama campaign made progress.
You mentioned the strong support that she has from the establishment. She's supported by the governor, Ted Strickland, several members of Congress, Stephanie Tubbs-Jones, for instance, in a delegate-rich district right there in the center of the state.
Yes, that's true. And it's interesting because many of the prominent African-American politicians here in Ohio have supported the Clinton campaign from the beginning. And just today, Senator Clinton received an endorsement from former Senator John Glenn, who is a very prominent and popular figure among Ohio Democrats. It's interesting. Ohio is a little different than some of the other states you all have been talking about, in that it's a very diverse state, a state that has a large number of metropolitan areas, and therefore it's a difficult state to campaign in. And therefore, connections with local politicians, with their organizations, can be particularly important.
What does that mean for Senator Clinton, who does not have as deep or as big a war chest as Barack Obama does now? She's running ads in the state, but if you have to run ads in several major metropolitan markets, that would seem to be a bit of a challenge for her.
It means that it's very expensive to campaign in Ohio, particularly if you have to do it on short notice, as both of the Democratic campaigns will have to do, given the pace of the primary season. So this could be a big problem for her and a place where Barack Obama may be able to overcome some of Senator Clinton's connections with Ohio politicians because he'll have the money to advertise in all of those media markets.
Does Barack Obama have any advantage being a fellow Midwesterner?
I suspect some advantage. Many people in Ohio, although they might not want to admit it publicly do look to other Midwestern states for guidance, to Iowa, to Missouri, to Illinois. I think that has some advantage. There is a significant African-American population in Ohio, about the same percentage as the nation as a whole, but it's concentrated, of course, in large cities where a lot of delegates are chosen. So that gives them an advantage. And, of course, there's a lot of young people in Ohio as well, just like there are in other states. And already we have detected an enormous enthusiasm for Senator Obama among younger voters.
John Green is director of the Ray C. Bliss Institute of Applied Politics and also a distinguished professor of political science at the University of Akron. Thanks so much for talking to us.
You're welcome.
We're joined again here in our studios by Ron Elving, NPR's senior Washington editor. And Ron, let's talk numerically here. Just tell us where we are overall in the presidential race to see a little bit of forest for the trees here.
We have passed the 1,200 mark in delegates among the Democrats, which means that Barack Obama is about halfway to having enough to be nominated. But then so is Hillary Clinton. She's not far behind. The two of them have traded the lead, but the lead was not a terribly substantial one. But now he's ahead. And if he does win in Wyoming, excuse me, if he does win in Wisconsin and in Hawaii, I was combining those into Wyoming, then he will have a more substantial lead among delegates. And as Bruce Buchanan was just pointing out a moment ago, the Texas event, even if it is won by Hillary Clinton, will probably result in a fairly even division of delegates. We've seen this before in big, big primary states, and we've seen the opposite in little, tiny caucus states. So what could happen here is that even if he loses in Texas and comes very close again in Ohio, Barack Obama could still be about even in delegates going into the Pennsylvania test or even afterwards, because that primary, too, could provide a pretty even split.
You know, it would be hard to listen to our coverage tonight and find much of a silver lining here for Hillary Clinton, but could you make the argument that it is way too soon to be writing her political epitaph?
I think something is about to start happening in the next few weeks, and we may see it in Wisconsin a week from today, and that is that people are going to confront for the first time the very real prospect that Barack Obama will be the nominee of the Democratic Party. I'm not sure that people have quite gotten their minds around that up to now, and it could produce a certain reconsideration on the part of some voters in Wisconsin, Ohio, Texas. It could reverse some of this momentum. But, you know, I keep being struck by the metaphors here. People talk about firewalls. People talk about her lines of defense, her fortresses. It's like the Maginot Line. Mm-hmm. Whereas with the Barack Obama forces, the metaphor you hear most often has to do with movement. It is a movement. He is moving people. And that's not a favorable comparison from the standpoint of going forward. So those are the two forces I think are going to be competing over the next several weeks.
Fighting a phenomenon.
Exactly.
And a defense, you're suggesting a defensive strategy at this point for Hillary Clinton. Do you think she's shaken up her campaign? Do you think, we've talked about this through the evening, that she does shift tactics here in some way, shift message, shift how she's conducting this campaign?
Yes, but at the same time, she does have to emphasize those defensive characteristics. You'll notice tonight she went to El Paso, Texas, to a huge Hispanic event. There was a great deal of Hispanic imagery, and this was clearly a connection to the people she considers her most loyal base in Texas, and this is her ultimate firewall, and that's a defensive kind of tactic. But I think she will also have to get more inspirational, more visionary, and she's going to have to encourage people to have that second consideration of Barack Obama.
Okay, Ron, thanks so much.
Thank you.
It's Ron Elving, NPR's senior Washington editor.
Senator McCain spoke to supporters in Alexandria, Virginia this evening, and as the presumptive Republican nominee, McCain looked past former Governor Mike Huckabee and attacked his Democratic rivals in his speech, and he drew on national security themes.
I won't confine myself to the comfort of speaking only to those who agree with me. I will make my case to all the people. I will listen to those who disagree. I will attempt to persuade them. I will debate, and I'll learn from them. But I will fight every moment of every day for what I believe is right for this country.
That was Senator John McCain speaking to supporters at his election night headquarters in Alexandria, Virginia. His rival Mike Huckabee spoke to his supporters in Little Rock, Arkansas.
There's still a real sense in the Republican Party of a desire to have a choice, a desire to make sure that the voters who want a solid conservative, absolutely pro-life candidate still exist. And I think that's what the results in Virginia clearly indicate.
That was Mike Huckabee. Senator Barack Obama spoke in Madison, Wisconsin.
We are going to remake this country block by block, precinct by precinct, county by county, state by state. That's what hope is. There's a moment in the life of every generation when that spirit has to come through if we are to make our mark on history. And this is our moment. This is our time.
That's Barack Obama. And finally to Senator Hillary Clinton, who addressed a crowd in El Paso, Texas.
You know, there's a great saying in Texas. You've all heard it. All hat and no cattle. Well, after 7 years of George Bush, we need a lot less hat and a lot more cattle.
Hillary Clinton speaking in El Paso, Texas tonight. Our election coverage continues online at npr.org and tomorrow on Morning Edition. Recapping the result today, Barack Obama has won all three primaries in Maryland, Virginia, and the District of Columbia, as has John McCain on the Republican side. This has been special coverage of tonight's Potomac primaries. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris. You're listening to NPR News.